About 12:30. So, remember last time we talked about how locally a function, you could think of it as a certain kind of quadratic function. And so the critical points are where the horizontal tangent planes are, and then it could be a local max at the top of a hill, or it could be a local minimum at the bottom of some bowl. And use the second partial derivatives to classify. There was this weird third case, right, where this inequality here between the mixed partials and the fewer second partials went the other way. And that was the case where we have what was called a saddle point.
Right.
And of course, these are all local, right? You can have a surface where you're at the bottom of some bowl here, but then you go out, and then maybe the surface does something like this, and then there's a much deeper bowl over here. So you would like to have some understanding of where is the global min or max. It might not exist if you have issues where you sort of go out to infinity, and either there's no bound at all, the values go to infinity in the outputs, or you approach but never quite reach some output value. But there is a restriction, an assumption that makes the theory nice and not too hard to handle. You've already seen this in Calculus 1. Right? So what is a compact region? In Calculus 1, a compact region is AB, right? Just a closed interval. And if F is continuous on a compact region, then it has a minimum and a maximum there. You find them? Well, in the general continuous case, it can be very hard to find them. But if it's differentiable, which is better than continuous, right? Then all we have to do is check. We have to check a certain, usually finite list of points, right? Two kinds of boundary points. There's the left boundary and the right boundary. Or they occur at a critical point. So it's really easy in a sense that you don't even need to know the second derivative. The second derivative doesn't even need to exist. All you have to do is find all the critical points, and then you look at the critical points and the boundary points, and you plug them into the function, and the highest output is the maximum, and the lowest output is the minimum. It's great. So for example, let's say this is A, and this is B, and then I'm going to graph my function up here, right? So maybe it does something like this. So there's a critical point right here. There's a critical point right here. These are all places with horizontal tangent lines. And this is the boundary point. This is the other boundary point. Okay. So in this example, one more critical point. I'd have to check 7 points, 2 boundary points, 5 critical points. But this is the max, because of the 7 points I checked, that's the highest output. And this is the minimum. You just check all the critical points, you check all of the boundary points, you find the highest output and the lowest output. Done. We don't need a second derivative. So that's how it goes in Calculus 1.
Any questions about that?
Okay. So we do the same thing in calculus 3. Here we are in section, I think this is section 7 of chapter 14, right? So what is a 2D compact region? Okay. So it has to have finite diameter, so the width in any direction is finite, right? And you could fit the whole thing inside a rectangle or inside a disk. Right? And it has to include its boundary points. Right? So like if you have a disk, you have to include the circle along the edge of the disk. What's an example? If something, say, is going off to infinity like this, like the whole upper right quadrant, right? This is not compact. Here's something that is almost compact, but not quite. Okay? It includes some of its boundary, but not all of it. Missing its right edge. This one is compact. Its diameter is finite, and right, the longest line, we have to draw it around, it's finite, and it includes all of its boundary. And once you have a definition of compact region. This isn't, this is kind of a fuzzy definition. To be precise about it takes some more precise mathematics, but I'm not going to get into all of that. You can read the book's take on it as well. But this is the main idea of it. For something like this, a compact region, so it's finite diameter. You can fit inside a disk of finite radius, say. And you include all your boundary points, then the theory will be the same. There will be a min and a max, assuming continuity. Right? So, the book likes to use the capital letter D for the D standing for domains, so like the set of inputs we're allowed to consider. Theory is the same. If F is continuous on a compact domain, then it has a minimum and a max. Okay. All the inputs you can try, there's an input that gives you the highest possible output, and there's an input that gives you the lowest possible output. And then if F is differentiable, then, as before, the max and the min happen at a boundary point or a critical point. Critical point in two dimensions, you need both partial derivatives to be zero. Okay. Now, the main practical difficulty with this is that the boundary is more complicated. In the one-dimensional compact region, there's only two boundary points, so it's really easy. Here, you know, the boundary of, say, this rectangle is 4 line segments. So you have to be able to understand these boundaries. And be able to figure out, okay, on these boundaries, what is there a min or a max, right? So it becomes a multi-step process, right? So how do we analyze the boundaries? So express each, you can think of each piece of the boundary, say, like here there's a natural decomposition into 4 lines, right? So assuming there's some natural way to break up the boundaries, express each piece as a parametric curve. And then analyze the composite function. Like you're in calculus 1, right? Now this parametric curve, every parametric curve here, there's going to be a bounded domain on the time coordinate, right? Okay. So you want to have some way of going from time A to time B that will, say, cover a given one of these segments, right? And once you do that, then you can think of it, okay, I just need to figure out at what time I hit a min or a max on each of these pieces. And so you look at critical points with respect to the time derivative now. And you look at the boundary points as, say, start time and end time. And you'll have a situation like this for each piece of your boundary. And so then you plug in all the critical points in the one-dimensional sense for each piece of your boundary and their endpoints into the function. And then you get a bigger table, right? So there'll be 2D critical points inside here. Meanwhile, on every edge, you may have 1D critical points, one-dimensional critical points, somewhere in the middle of an edge, and then you'll also have the corners, right? Which are just, I think of them as 1D boundary points, right? So the boundary of the two-dimensional region is some one-dimensional regions, and those may have critical points in their interior, then the boundary of the boundary gets you back down to what's called the zero-dimensional case, right? So I'm going to describe this. Boundary of the edge, right? That's a corner point, right? There's only finitely many corners usually, right? So it boils down to, you have to look at all these, you have to look at some corner points, but there may also be critical points inside the edges themselves, and there may be the calculus 3 kinds of critical points inside the two-dimensional region. So there's 3 kinds of points you have to check now. And it's more work because you have to parameterize the boundary. But that's the strategy. Okay? And after you get a list of all these different output values, all these different kinds of points, the highest value will be the max, the lowest value will be the min. Questions or comments about this? Let's see if we can do it. Okay.
So I'm going to look at 14.7, number 31. Okay. And your homework is 14.7, number 36. Okay. So. So this is the function, and the domain D that we're considering is a compact region, it's a triangle. Okay? Kind of like this. Yeah, the book just gives you the three vertices. This is the top vertex, x is 0, y is 2. The bottom vertex, x is 0, y is negative 2. And the right vertex, x is 2, y is 0.
Okay.
Easy part is finding the critical points in the calculus 3 sense, so finding the critical points of this function. So take the x partial derivative, 2x, this becomes 0 because we're holding y constant, this becomes negative 2 times 1. And the y partial. Okay, now this will be 0 because now we're going to be holding x constant. And we're taking y derivative here, so this is 2y. We're holding x constant now, so this is 0. Okay. So we want to have both of these be 0 at the same time. And sometimes the system of equations can be really hard to solve, and you can only get the solutions approximately. But in this particular example, right, because the book made it nice, it's easy to solve the system of equations. In fact, this one's so easy, there's no interaction between x and y at all. And in fact, there's only one critical point. Right? X must be 1, y must be 0. Okay. Right there.
Okay. And while we're thinking about that critical point, why don't we go ahead and plug that into the function?
Okay. See what the output is. Output is negative 1. Okay?
So that negative 1 might be the lowest value the function takes or the highest value the function takes on this triangle. But we won't know without looking at the edges of the triangle and the vertices of the triangle.
That's the first step. Any questions about this?
Okay, now we got to look at the edges.
In general, the edges of a region might be curved,
right?
Like in number 36 in your homework, it's a quadrant of a circle. So there's two straight edges and one edge that's a circular arc. For straight edges, there's a trick, okay? So if you want to go from, let's say, position A to position B, right? Okay. Over say the simple time interval, where where the time starts at zero, and by the time you get to your destination, you're at one. There's an easy way to do it. Let your position vector be A times 1 minus T plus B times T. Another way to write this is if you group the T terms, you get A plus B minus A times T.
Okay. And why would that make sense?
If you have, so let's say, so here's the origin, then you make an arrow to A, then you make an arrow to B to give you these two positions, then B minus A is this arrow right here. Okay. So the arrow that points from A to B. Okay. So if time is zero, then this is what you get when t equals zero. You just get A. That's your position. Now what if time was a half? Well, you'd get A plus a half of this arrow. So you'd be halfway there. Okay? Right? If t was equal to one, you'd get A plus B minus A, which is B. You'd be all the way there. Okay? So this is a nice continuous, even differentiable parameterization of a line segment. Okay, so if you're going on a straight line, this is how you want to parameterize this, the simplest way to go about it. So we have three edges, and if I use this parameterization, I can understand each edge. This is not the only way to do it. Okay, if you don't like parameterizing edges, the other approach is you find an xy equation for each line, you solve that equation for one variable, and then you get a one-dimensional optimization problem that way. I think the parameterization of lines will be useful later, so I'm going to introduce it now. And this method can work for more complicated curves where you can't solve for x or solve for y as well. As long as you can parameterize, it's a very powerful general method. Okay, so where are the edges? Let's give these things names. So how about this will be P, Q, R. Okay? So to go from P to Q, so how can we write this in vector notation? So position P is 0, 2, and then Q minus P would be 2, 0, minus 0, 2, times T. And you have to put all that together. So in the x coordinate, you have 0. In the y coordinate, you have 2 minus 0. Still in the x coordinate, we have 0 plus 2 minus 0 times t. And then in the y coordinate, we have 2 plus 0 minus 2 times t. And that works out to just 2t and 2 minus 2t. And here, t is going from 0 to 1, from 0% of the way there to 100% of the way there. That's the first edge. And I'm going to bring the backboard down and continue this project to pi. This is step 2.1, the first edge, right? Okay. So what is that? I just need to plug in 2t for x and 2 minus 2t for y. Okay. I'll use the chain rule. Yes, that'll be easier. Okay, because I already got the partial derivative, so I'll take advantage of that. Okay, so this, I have 2x minus 2, and then dx dt is easy. It's just 2. The nice thing about straight lines is that if you use this parameterization, the time derivatives are just constants. If you want, you can plug in now for time. It won't make a big difference. I'll plug in for time since in general you may need to plug in for time to figure out where the critical points are. So what do we get? Okay, 2t, 2 minus 2t. So. No, 2 minus 2t. Lots of 2s. Okay. So I need to simplify this jump hole, okay? So we're looking for critical points. So what do we got here? Where is it going to be 0? Okay, so I got to group a bunch of stuff. Okay. I'm going to factor out a 2, so I can do that. Actually, there's another 2 I can factor out. I'll factor out a 4. Right? 2, 2, 2, 2. There. Okay. So what have I got? After I do... See, there's 2s and 2... all right. 2t minus 1 plus... well, minus 2 minus 2t. All right. Minus 2t, 4t, minus 3/4. So we could check that out. See what we get here. What would happen if we plug that in for x and y? So that would be 3/4 of the way from p to q. So somewhere around here. Okay. So 3/2 and 1/2. Yeah.
Can you explain the number time we'll be here under that the on the second step? Where it's like the vector 0, 2 plus the vector 2, 0, like the next step after that. How you got like 0 plus 2 minus 0 t.
Well, you just look at the x part separately. And the x part is 0 plus what do you got over here? T times something. Well, and what are the x parts? A 2 minus a 0. So that's the 2 minus the 0. And then it gets multiplied by t. And then it gets added to a 0. You just deal with each part separately.
So I get 2 and then 0.
Yeah.
That's a plus, right? The one after the two, after the two is a plus.
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a plus. Here. See that zero, that two, that zero, right? Yeah. You just deal with each part separately.
Okay. Other questions?
I want 4 times 4t minus 3 to be 0, right? Because I'm looking for a critical point along this line.
You just set it to 0, right?
Yeah. I solve it. I think 3/4 is the only solution, right? If 4t will have to equal 3 to make this 0. Yeah. So 4t is 3, t is 3/4. Yeah. Other questions? Yeah.
Are you getting the x equals 3/2 and y equals 1/2?
Well, that comes back to, I guess, our little parameterization right here after we simplified it, right?
Yeah, that's where I make the connection between time and space.
Yeah,
right. I go back from when to where.
So, 75% of the way there would be about here.
Just to clarify, step one was to find the 2D critical point, right?
Yeah, the two-dimensional critical points. Yeah, the stuff inside the triangle. Yeah.
So then, what does the negative one represent in the red?
That's the output. So like if we graph this, it's going to be some surface, right, that goes above and below the triangle depending on whether z is positive or negative.
So you should think of this as a z value. Yeah.
Okay, so
what does that tell us?
Well, we can plug into the function, right?
See if we learn anything interesting there. So way back over here, right? 3/2. No, take advantage of the space up here. Okay, just going back to the original function definition here. So, what do we got? 9/4, 1/4, 10/4, and 3. Okay.
Negative?
Well, yeah, there's going to be a minus. Yeah. Okay, so 10/4 minus 3. So I think this is 2.5, right? So negative 1/2. Okay, so it's down at negative 1 here. Over here, it's not quite as low. Okay. Let's do an easy one. How about we do, say, edge PR? Okay. It'll be easy because if you look at this, what's going to happen? X is always going to be 0, right? There's going to be a vertical line. I'll do the parameterization, but you could make a shortcut of just plugging in 0 for X if you wanted. Let's just do the shortcut. Sometimes there's a faster way than the parameterization, right? Because we know it's vertical because the x-coordinates are the same at the endpoints. So this is just going to be X equals 0, and Y is going to range from negative 2 to 2. And generally you have to parameterize, but sometimes there's a shortcut. Okay, so it's a nice vertical line. So now, what are we looking for? Well, you want to ask what is the derivative with respect to y, right,
As you go up and down, what is the y slope? Okay. So we already know that. It's for emphasis, right? When you're holding x constant at zero, right, that then you're getting a partial derivative. Right? And we know what that is, right? We've got that already. It's this thing. Now when is this zero? When y is zero. But remember, x is also going to be zero in this thing. Okay?
So if we got that right,
we have another critical point right here. A one-dimensional critical point. Value there, well, I think it's just going to be zero.
Okay,
so I'll erase this, and I'm going to put this up high so we can have a board for the third critical point. Stuff behind it I can photograph later.
So,
let's say we go from R to Q. Last edge. So this is the Q minus R. That takes us in the right direction. But technically, it's not a direction. That's the velocity. And this is our start point, R. Okay, so put it all together. In the X part, we have 0, 2 minus 0, T. And the
y part, we have negative 2 plus 0 minus negative 2t. 2t, the x part, okay. So horizontally, we're going to the right at speed 2, but we're also going up at speed 2. And we're starting here horizontally, we start at position 0. Vertically, we start at position negative 2. And this is for, again, t from 0 to 1, right? That gets, we need to go at speed 2 if we're going to get there in time 1.
Well, horizontal speed 2, vertical speed 2. The two-dimensional speed would be 2 root 2, but we don't need to get into that.
Okay, so chain rule again. So partial f partial x times dx dt plus partial f partial y times dy dt. And our, you know these things already, except, well, 2x minus 2, we have that. The x derivative, or the time derivative of x is easy, right? That's just 2. Easy one. The y derivative is also 2. The horizontal and vertical velocities are each positive 2.
2y.
So 0 equals df dt, which we can simplify as 2 times 2. Now I'm going to plug in for time. Right? So this is 2t there. Minus 2 plus 2y. Okay, so twice y, so that would be minus 2 plus 2t. And I think, yeah, I've factored out the twos right here, okay? Some stuff. There's definitely another factor of 2 I can bring out, so I get a 4. And then I have 2t minus 1 minus 2 plus 2t. T is going to be 3/4, like it was in the last one. No, negative. No, I'm right. I think it's going to be 3/4 again. I think I got it right. Okay, so we want this to be 0, right? So divide both sides by 4, right? That's still 0, right? So it's 3/4 again. So we're going to be here, right? If we plug in, here we get 3/2 and negative 1/2. Okay. I guess okay. And almost done, which is good because we only have 5 more minutes. All right. So after all this work, we got it down to 7 points, okay? We have to check the output at this point, the output at these 3 points, and then the output at these 3 points, the corners.
Any questions? All right. I will bring this board down. Up.
Picture that board. Erase it.
That's just some more theoretical background. Checked all the output points, but well,
we just have to save that for the end, okay? So there's, I think we did some of them already, right? Did we get we got this one, okay? So let's make a big list here. Well, this one we checked, right? It was 3/2, 1/2, and we got -1/2, and then what else did we do? Oh, we did 0, 0. Okay. 0. And then we also did the two-dimensional critical point inside the triangle. We got -1. Yeah. So that was 1. And so we still need to check this one. It's going to be the same, though, right? Because y only matters in the y squared term, right? So when you square it, you'll get the same as with this one, right? So that one will be the same. And now we have to check p, q, and r, the actual edges. Okay, so 0 and 2. Okay, so if x is 0, all I get is 0 squared plus 2 squared minus 2 times 0. So I get 4. 2 and 0. Okay, now the y term, it doesn't contribute, right? It'll just be a 0 squared. So I get 2 squared minus 2 times 2, which is 0. And then the last one, 0, -2. Okay, so you'll see the symmetry here. Y only enters as y squared in the function, so 2 squared is the same as the square of -2. So I get another 4. Okay. Okay, so the highest number on the list, right, that is the global max. You also may see this called the absolute max, right? Absolute maximum. Global or absolute, same thing, okay? And then this right here, that's the least number, that is the global minimum, okay? In this particular example, the edge critical points, which were a pain to find, didn't turn out to be a location of an absolute min or max, but they could have. So that's why I had to check. Okay. No, you're not being asked to find the saddle point. You're just asked to find what is the highest possible output, what is the lowest possible output. Right. So yeah, we know a saddle point would not be an answer. So I can see here. Anyways, I don't know if there's. Let's just make kind of a sketch of this graph, so you can try to understand why did this happen. Okay. Okay, this, I'm going to complete the square and write as x minus 1 squared plus y squared minus 1. So this is actually like a squared radius of a circle with center 1, 0. Okay? So the level curves actually look like circles, concentric circles. Okay? Like this. Okay. So this is the bottom, and it was right in the middle of this triangle here. Okay? So this was our min, and then right here and here, right, as we go out in these rings, we're getting higher and higher values. That's why we got the maxes happening twice. Okay?
So that's all it was. It was really basically you had the function, but in disguise is actually pretty simple. You had a circle centered at the middle of the triangle. Okay? Those are what all the contours look like. And it's the z value in each of these rings is just the r squared minus 1. Right? Where r is this radius here. From that. So that's geometrically, that was what was going on.
Okay.
And right here, let me draw another circle. Draw another circle about this radius right here. See where this circle kisses the triangle here and here? These are those critical points along the edges. And then see where this circle kisses the triangle right there? That's the other critical point along the edge. So what's going on with these critical points is those are where the level curves, the circles, kiss the boundaries. And then, of course, there was a two-dimensional critical point. And then there were just the bounded points. So that was what was going on geometrically.
And we'll talk more about this idea of kissing the boundary tomorrow when we do Lagrange multipliers.